going on, everybody? And thank y'all all so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I'm in the room with a man whom, well, he actually showed up in a good mood today, Mr. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm in a good mood because my garden is thriving.
Bro, what kind of cover did you put on that thing?
I had to put a UV cover over it.
Well, okay. Uh-huh. So when you told me you were putting a UV cover on this, okay?
Yeah.
I expected it to be like a little 10 by 10, right? Or like a little 8 by 8 square over his stuff. You send me a video. I thought you had built like a whole resort in your backyard. How? First of all, I feel bad for your wife because you had her out there doing a whole lot of stuff the whole day.
Yeah, she had to help me. Yeah. Look, she wants to grow plants. That's right. By God, we're going to grow some
So you went typical overboard again, didn't you?
Yeah, it's like 20 by 30.
Yeah.
It covers the whole garden, though. Well, because see, in the Texas heat, like, so the tomatoes and some of the pepper plants, they get burnt actually by the sun because it's so extreme. And in my yard, I don't have a lot of trees in the backyard. So there's literally no shade. So the UV cover protects it.
So you built it up.
So it doesn't burn up. Yeah. Now, I wished I had like a lot of post oaks and live oaks in the backyard.
Yeah. Or, and it might also help keep the hard water off of them this next time if it comes. I think we're past that point now.
I think we are too.
But man, oh man, we get everything beat up. We've got totaled cars. That's right, folks. Kyle and I just been getting nothing but bad news the last few days over all that with the insurance. But other than that, the weather's everything's been great.
Yeah, the weather's been perfect. It hasn't even gotten hot yet.
No.
Like today, it's only 90 out. That's perfect.
Dude, I love it. I love it. Folks, today we have a fun little segment for you. We got some stuff. We're going to talk about cattle mutilations, and then we actually have a little interview we're going to drop with you. And we've talked about this story in the past. Now we got the man to tell it. We actually sat down with him at Area 52.
That's right, Area 52.
And got us a little interview action going on. So you're going to get to hear a crazy story that took place not from far from where we're at right now. And, of course, it took place a while back, some crazy cattle mutilation stuff. But before we get into that, of course, we got some wild stories we got to share.
Yeah.
Kyle, I got one for you here.
You were mentioning this when I pulled up to the studio today about, have you ever heard or considered the idea of like small animals actually being fey folk that
yes.
can shapeshift or,
yes.
or transform into appear like a cottontail or something?
Yeah.
I was like, no, you know, I've never considered it. I've considered, of course, trash bags turning into Duendes. I've heard of Duendes turning into trash bags.
And we've had reports of trash bags turning into a lot of crazy things, but this, I think, is something you're going to enjoy. And then, like you pointed out, it brings up a good question. And listen, this is Carol dropped this off in here, and this is an email we got in here that says, I'm looking to identify what creature my cousin and I, of course, may have come in contact with. Goes in to talk about, you know, grew up learning about all the stuff about skinwalkers, this, that, and the other. So this is where the story starts. It says, Alan was returning home late at night after visiting his girlfriend at her home. Okay. Says Alan lives down a long stretch of road that, while in a growingly suburban area, is still well forested. His house is at the end of the road across from a pasture that includes a horse and one hog. And my son's, every time I always think about that, it's like my son has a potbelly pig and his head Scooter now for, I've talked about him, over a decade that he lives there. And Scooter's, that's my grand pig, and he's like a little old man. That pig has its own personality, the whole thing. And when we do anything, like my wife had some family, I'll get back to the story in a second, you're going to get a kick out of this. My wife, some friends of theirs had some surgeries and whatnot, and so we got on the meal train, and so my wife made up a bunch of like a broccoli cheese casserole and all this. So we had a bunch of leftover broccoli stalks and stuff.
Yeah.
Took that over there.
Gave it to Scooter.
He didn't even want to eat it.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's so too bougie.
He got bougie. He ended up eating it, but he was like, I go, don't turn your nose up at the colon's toothbrush. Right? But he ended up eating it. But old Scooter, yeah, he's a picky old man. So the story back to Alan. Alan's returning home late one night, like I told you, lives near a well-forested area in a suburban neighborhood across from one horse and one hog. As Alan's driving towards his house, he becomes aware of a large white mist, Philly, floating in the air over the pasture area. Now, of course, we've all seen this when the weather changes.
The fog rolls in.
You get the fog, the haze when you first go walking in as it comes up off the ground. Easily could have been that.
Yeah, but even in movies, when something creepy's about to happen, the fog rolls in, right? It's almost like whenever the fog rolls in, we've received several stories.
Yeah.
It's like the Oz effect starts. It's like the veil between another dimension is thin.
Well, I remember this.
Right? That's what it seems
like. I remember when we were like in high school and right out, we were been playing paintball our whole that whole time. We started playing at your house. And we started doing it at night.
Yeah.
Remember, we brought out, we had set up last day. It was like 10 of us, right? We had the air station so we could refill. We had like lights and all that. But I remember one night in particular when the fog rolled in, we were all so excited. Everybody goes out. We called them up. We had friends come over. We all met at your house. There's like 5-on-5 playing in the fog, in the dark, not thinking anything of it. Fast forward, of all the times we've messed around in the fog, as I've gotten older and doing this show, I'm leery of fog, man.
Right?
Man, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm a little leery of the fog. So he talks about the fog. So he stops his vehicle and he's watching this mist. He said, seemingly now aware of his presence, this mist seems to be reacting. He says it began to hover and then abruptly dart down towards the earth. Alan's baffled at what he saw. Then the situation escalated when he realized that on the ground, directly where the mist darted and disappeared, now sat a rabbit. Alan said it was as if the mist had entered the rabbit. A couple of things to mention. One, it was late at night, not during dawn or dusk hours when rabbits are usually out eating and hopping around. I don't know what that means. They're out all night, bro. They're out all night. Yeah, trust me.
That's what the owls are looking for.
That's exactly it. The owls and coyotes and all that, and bobcats, while they're out at it. Because what they eat's out at night. The house Alan lives in is notoriously haunted, but nothing like it has been before or the occurrence before or since. So this person says, after seeing this, Alan's like, what is going on? Where did the mist go? Why did it come into that? So Alan starts asking a few questions to local indigenous community. He had known some folks. One of his folks was a local native. So he starts talking to them. He's like, you know what? Let me ask a few questions. Turns out in their belief system, that rabbits can be related or are related to small fae.
Yeah.
So was the mist something was, who knows what the mist with the rabbit, but the whole idea of the rabbit being a fae or being able to transform into a fae starts making a lot more things start add up when you're like, oh, trash bag dwindies. Yeah, well, maybe they do turn into small animals. Well, remember, we've talked about the cat. Had people seen it look like something turned into a cat? We had the bag where a person had seen the bag follow in the truck. Truck turns off. The bag keeps going. Turns in. Like, we've had a bunch of strange fae stories. This is just another one.
Well, how many times have you heard what people thought were like raccoons? Turns out they were dwindy.
Oh,
so maybe dude, it was a raccoon and then it turned into a fae.
Well, we've got several stories like that of people spotting, like you said, what they thought. What are the ones that we've always get when you start talking about all the dwindy? It always seems to be raccoon related.
Yeah, that's what
like
they think.
Heavily raccoon related.
Yeah. And, or I've even heard of like mice. There was one where a girl, I'm trying to remember how it goes. It was like in their shed and the parents thought that there was mice getting in there and they started setting mouse traps and stuff. And the little girl would be like, well, no, they're not mice. They're my friends. And they're like, what are you talking about? And they're like,
the littles in the wall.
Like, describe what they look like. And she would describe like what a gnome would look like. Beard, little hat.
That's dope.
Green, brown, patchwork clothing, boots. She's like, no, they come in there and, you know, I give them snacks and offer things to them. And she actually freed one of them from a mouse trap.
Oh, that's even cooler.
Yeah, something like that. So like maybe they can transform. So when you're in the woods, be mindful. If you see a cottontail or something, maybe it's a fae watching what you're doing. Want to know if you're going to throw a little trash on the ground.
Yeah, you better be careful.
If you're not going to put out your cigarette butt. Like, you got to keep in the good graces.
You do. You might want to bring a little something to leave out for the fae if you're going to be camping out there in the woods. And speaking of the woods, Brad, listen to this. Raj sent this over. It says, I'm a former longtime airborne ranger, having served for many years in the 275 in Washington State. After my service, I was a Forest Service firefighter and disaster response contractor. Suffice to say, I'm very experienced outdoorsman and professionally trained. You could have just stopped at Airborne Ranger. I'd have been fine with it. You keep going. Look, I get it, bro. In 2009, I was hiking in the Weyerhaeuser Forest Reserve near Offutt Lake in western Washington State. The preserve was adjacent to the home of a buddy's father, and before setting off into the lumber preserve, his father had implored for me not to go hiking in that area alone, as it was a very dangerous area, a very frightening area. Now, he had lived there for 30 years and refused to let his kids ever step foot into that part of the forest.
So, and that's very similar to like what was the guy you used to work with, whose dad, when certain times a year, would be like, you can't go out in the woods and play.
Yeah. That's what this sounds like. Yeah. It's like, oh, you know something that everybody else don't. So Roger goes on and says, for being young, confident ranger, I laughed off his superstition and headed out into the virgin forest. It was an unusually hot and humid day in late spring, and I was armed with a Glock 19 9mm pistol and feeling very capable and competent. I had made it about 3 miles into the forest and came to a massive bowl section of perfectly manicured pine forest and no undergrowth. Just tan spruce pine needle bed as far as the eye could see. It looked like I was stepping down into a forest bowl the size of a modern football stadium. Now, I got about halfway down the bowl, and literally every sound in the forest became totally, deafeningly silent.
Yeah, that Oz effect, right?
Here we go. All in an instant, it was as though I had stepped into a soundproof studio room in one step. No bugs, no wind, no ambient sound, nothing. Now, by this time, I had been to combat twice, graduated Ranger school, and was a pretty salty individual, but I'm not ashamed to admit I was overcome with a feeling of fear, dread, deep, guttural, paralyzing fear.
Get out of there, bro.
Right? I gathered myself together, turned around, and practically ran the entire way back to my friend's father's house, got in my truck, and left, and I never went back. I spent years thinking about what happened in those woods, and to this day, I have no answers. I was completely sober, fully aware of my surroundings, and in good spirits and health at the time of this incident, with no mental, physical, or psychological issues. I cannot say what the incident was caused by, but I have never been so deeply in fear in my life. Even thinking about it now over a decade later makes me feel uneasy, as though whatever it was in that forest is still there.
Yeah, it reminds me of missing 411. How many times have these people, when they've lost them, they later find them, they're still alive, but they're like, they're drowsy, they're out of it, like they don't know what happened.
Well,
you talk about people that have, like you're saying, they're overwhelmed with this sensation of nausea, no sounds,
dread.
And then the feeling of dread. I'm like, if you ever experience that when you're out in the woods, you know, get out of there.
Well, what's it say to a fellow that's been in combat,
right?
All the stuff he's gone through, and instantly, well, they tell you to trust your instincts. Boom, instantly he gets that feeling like, dude, I'm not pushing. I'm out.
Billy, you're
what
not.
What is this?
Billy, you're not scared of any man. Whatever's out there, Major.
Ain't no man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This guy's a special ops kind of operator, and he's not scared
he's
of
like,
people.
I ain't going in there.
But he's like, I don't know what's in those woods, but I'm getting out of there.
I'm not messing around with it. Something this Glock 19 can't fade when I'm waving it around in the dark. Speaking of in the dark, I got one more for you.
Okay.
This is a very interesting one I think you're going to enjoy. It says, I've never been a big fan of camping. Go back to 2012. For some reason or another, my friend and I decided it'd be a great idea to take a Saturday night to go camp on some private property. Now, we had permission from the owner and all that, and on the bank of a small lake there in rural American Southeast. Now, the lake wasn't very large, probably only 50 to 150 yards across. I'm not great at estimating distance, it says. But it was more of a deep pond. Sounds like a great place to camp and fish, if you ask me, right?
Yeah.
Let's rock. But it was 5 times as long as it was wide. From the perspective of our camp, it consumed the majority of our sightline. Now, the plot of land itself wasn't entirely removed from civilization. We were 5 or 10 miles outside of a small suburb of a mid-sized southern city. It definitely was not easy to access, however, and the only way in was gated, a narrow dirt road across the levee which spanned one side of the lake. This road was gated and locked. The owner had given us his code. We pulled the car through, locked the gate right behind us. If you've ever been down south, you know how quickly it gets isolated outside of the cities. Our cities are small, and the rural people often live rough and wild. Now, we have dense woods, so thick they're not worth building in unless you have some connection or attachment to the area. I've heard it was not profitable to cut roads through a lot of it when they were building highways in the 50s. So, not much development has happened in the last 100 years, and in some places, since the Civil War. It's not uncommon to go for a 30-minute drive straight out of town and come upon cabins that are obviously off the grid. Now, my friend and I were used to living in the suburbs, so we were just happy to see stars and hear the sounds of nature. Now, we were at our little very utilitarian camp. We had a small Coleman 2-person tent and a blanket, basically. simply looking around and enjoying the night when suddenly my buddy sat up real straight. He said something like, "Do you see that guy over there?" He pointed to the other side of the small lake. Now, I didn't see anything, so I sat up slightly and said, "Nah, it's just a dart playing tricks on you." He seemed actually shaken. He said, "No, look, there's a bunch of faces behind the trees now." Now, that got my attention, so I sat up fully, rubbing my eyes to try to gain full focus. Then I saw them. Small, round, white faces stared back at me from across the lake. Maybe 15 to 20 of them. All were positioned in such a way that their bodies were behind the trees and only their heads were visible. The best way I can describe the faces is like very pale, somehow intentionally illuminated children. Now, I should mention that neither of us were drinking nor doing drugs. We were too young for that. Not for at least a few more years. Now, we'd eaten dinner at home and were just planning on going to sleep after chilling out for a while. The faces weren't moving. I was kind of sitting there in shock, thinking that my eyes would adjust and I would see that they were just the reflection or bugs or owls or something. But I never come to that realization. I stared right back at them for what felt like 5 minutes, looked back at my friend, and then they were gone. Bodies of water carry sound extremely well, and we heard extensive shuffling from the other side of the lake and a couple of small branches snap. It's incredible what your ears pick up on during an otherwise silent night. My buddy was tearing up a little when he said, "What the hell were those?" I didn't have a good answer. Neither of us slept particularly well. I definitely felt validated in my feelings of disliking camping. But what were we going to do? I tried to do some research on this on the internet, but I have never found a phenomenon that could explain what we experienced.
Wow. I don't know what they experienced, but I will tell you, I've experienced pareidolia quite a bit while hunting. Like, I can swear I see something, and it's just, it's a stump or a root, but in the particular lighting of the situation,
yeah,
you think, man, that's a hog. I just got to sit here and wait for it to get up. And it's going to come over here right. And feed. And then in the sun, then wait an hour later and the sun's higher up. And you're like, that's a stump.
Yeah.
But you convinced yourself that it was something.
But I've also done what they're talking about. Right. Where you've seen it and you look back and it's gone. And you're like, oh, that was real.
Yeah. So I'm not saying what they saw wasn't a real sighting. I'm saying it's weird how your mind can play tricks on you, especially in low light.
Well, okay. So knowing that, right? Knowing that and knowing that that is a full possibility of what happened, does that make it more unsettling when you believe that and then you look back and all those faces are gone?
And the fact that you hear something crossing.
Yeah. Right? You're like, you know what? I would have just left.
I just convinced myself that my mind's playing tricks on me.
I just convinced myself I'm a moron. Rather than accept the fact
that there's something staring at me, having a staring contest.
Or I just think because I'm an idiot that I'm like, that's probably something I didn't know what it was. No big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that. So, yeah.
Crazy.
I've got another one I'm going to share with y'all, but I'm going to wait till the end of the show to share with y'all on this one. I have something that has to do with Glimmer, Maine.
Yeah, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking about some cattle mutilation stories, as well as an interview we did out at Area 52. I'll explain more of that when we get back. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Summer is here. School's out, vacations are planned, fireworks are lighting up the sky, and backyard barbecues are in full swing. It's the perfect time to start building healthy eating habits that last all year long. Make it easier with Green Chef, the number one meal kit for clean eating. Delicious, nutritious meals delivered right to your door so you can spend less time in the kitchen and more time soaking up summer. Spend more time enjoying summer and less time in the kitchen with Green Chef. Their new Heat and Eat meals are ready in just 3 minutes, Cam. Delicious, wholesome, and hassle-free. Fuel your wellness journey with Green Chef's fresh, organic, and seasonal produce, plus 100% responsibly sourced proteins. It's real food designed to help you feel your best. Healthy habits made simple. With Green Chef, you can skip the prep but keep the nutrition. Salads ready in 5 minutes, proteins packed in breakfasts, and nutrient-rich smoothies to power you all day. With over 80 dietitian-approved weekly meals, it's easy to find options that suit your lifestyle, whether you're eating Mediterranean, gluten-free, plant-based, high-protein, calorie-smart, or just focusing on gut and brain health. They have flexible, fresh, and always changing. They have new recipes that drop every single week. And with Green Chef's flexible plans, you can easily adjust your meals to fit your mood or your schedule. Now, my wife and I, we love it. My wife has dietary restrictions, so she has to watch what she eats. These meals that Green Chef has prepared are perfect for us, and the best part is, they taste great.
You need some of those dietary restrictions.
Well, you ain't lying. I like the pesto shrimp couscous bowls. I like the herby chicken with apricot aioli, kale, and roasted sweet potatoes and carrots. And my favorite so far probably has been the spicy chicken and guacamole wraps.
Dude, those were good. Those were good. Yeah, my favorite's the Thai-style coconut shrimp soup.
You like that? You like everything Thai.
I love Thai.
You like Thai fighting.
I do love Thai fighting.
You don't like Thai language. I like it's Thai. Hard to read.
I can't understand it. I've tried. I can't read it. There's no way I could speak it.
No. You can read it.
Oh, I can't. Here we go.
You can't write it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You can't speak it, but you can definitely read it.
I like
if you're
Thai
looking
fighters,
at it, you're reading
I'm
it.
I'm reading it. I just don't understand what it says. Yeah. No, I do. I love it. I love, and I'm not a big soup guy, so this thing actually snuck up and got me. Folks, if you're going to try to get healthy, like Kyle and I are trying to do, give this a shot, man. Green Chef is where it at. The food's great, and you already know Kyle and I love to save recipes. They come full-page recipes, easy to follow. Everything in there is so great. It's like my wife likes it. Of course, you know, I don't have kids at home, so my wife and I get to try all of this cool stuff, just us, which is nice. It is very nice. Folks, make this summer your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Look, just head over to greenchef.com/5050, okay? And use that as the same code. So you're going to go to greenchef.com/50expanded and use the code 50expanded. And there you're going to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for two more months with free shipping. That's code, again, you ready? 50expanded. Just go to greenchef.com/50expanded.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. We're going to talk about a phenomenon everybody's familiar with. But, you know, this is one of the most bizarre and persistent mysteries in a modern American history, I believe. The phenomenon is so strange. It's so surgically precise that even seasoned investigators are left baffled for decades. I'm talking about cattle mutilations. It's a subject that's haunted ranchers around here, terrified communities, and spawned endless speculation ranging from satanic cults to extraterrestrial involvement to even secret government experiments, which is what I'm always talking about with everybody that talks to me about it, is if aliens want to take a cow, why do they bring it back? Why not just take it and keep it?
If they want to do an experiment. Government conspiracy stuff.
If it's a government thing, like they're testing, you know, prion's disease or mad cow disease or any of these other crazy things, or testing chemical warfare, again, they can't raise their own cattle. Why would they need to abduct a rancher's cow? And then just like with the strange missing and black phenomenon, oftentimes right after these cattle mutilations, there's unmarked black helicopters. Why are they always black? How do they know that a cattle mutilation went down?
That's a good question.
Like, there's a whole bunch of strange things. But these reports of these mysterious livestock deaths aren't new. In fact, the earliest documented cases of cattle mutilation date back to the 1960s. But it's in 1967 that a phenomenon hit national headlines. That year, there was a horse named Lady, often misreported as Snippy. She was found dead and mutilated near Alamosa, Colorado. Now, Cam, I know you've been up near Alamosa. Her flesh had been stripped from her skull. With surgical precision. Her internal organs were removed. There was no blood found at the scene. Not a drop. No footprints, no predator marks. And worst of all, no explanation. The local sheriff and veterinarians were puzzled. Of course, reporters swarmed in, and that event kicked off what would become a decades-long wave of disturbing, unexplained animal mutilations, mostly cattle, across the American West and Midwest. Now, since then, thousands of cases have been reported across the U.S., particularly in states like New Mexico, Colorado, Montana, Texas, and Wyoming. And of course, Cam, those are the states where mostly cattle was raised.
You know,
the big ranches are in all those states. Now, what's crazy is they have strikingly consistent patterns throughout all the cases. They have clean, bloodless incisions. Eyewitnesses and pathologists often describe the cuts as done by a laser scalpel. Flesh is removed with exacting precision. After if it was done by a master coroner or somebody that knows what they're doing, right? It's not just some hunter out there hacking away. There's always missing body parts, usually the tongue, the eyes, lips, ears, a noose, and genitals.
All the good parts
are always removed. And why those parts? There's always a lack of blood. It says often these animals are found completely without blood, drained completely. There's no blood pooling on the ground. There's no signs of any bodily fluids really on the ground. The thing is just drained dry. Like that movie Life Force, when the space vampires would drain you, or what are the Sturgis, turn you into a husk. Like that's what it's like. Like they're just...
You got husk.
And much like we've experienced with the killing of pigs, there's no tracks. There's no drag marks. There's no disturbed soil. And even predators seem to avoid the carcasses, which is another strange phenomenon. You know as well as I do. In fact, not too long ago, you shot a doe. We butchered it. We put it there, and this was at night. So by the time we left where we were hunting, it was 9 p.m. I was out there the next morning, 6 a.m., the carcass was completely scavenged. I mean, there must have been a coyote feeding frenzy. But that's in one day.
Yeah, they went hard in the paint that night.
These cows, for whatever reason, when they're returned, the predators don't want to touch them. They don't want to eat them. So what do they know? What are they smelling?
Yeah.
Vultures, turkey vultures, buzzards, they don't want to touch them. So they may lay out there for 3 or 4 days, starting to bloat or whatever, but no predation on these cattle ranches where they know that there's predators. Here's another thing that happens with a lot of these. There's always strange lights. There's oftentimes UFO sightings reported in and around the area, sometimes days or even hours before the discovery. There's also rapid decomposition. In some cases, the ranchers report that the carcass doesn't even attract flies or any kind of scavengers like I talked of. And they decompose at an abnormal rate. So they decompose faster
than
a normal animal. So sometimes multiple animals are found in the same night, miles apart with identical wounds. So it's like you can track it as it's going across. They mutilate a cow here. 5 miles later, they mutilate a cow there. 7 miles down the road, they mutilate a cattle there. Like it's, you can follow the path that whatever's doing this is flying down, if it's flying, you know. Or, you know, that's the thing, is it's not always UFOs. In the 1970s, the mutilations wave became so intense in Colorado that Senator Floyd K. Haskell asked the FBI to get involved. And in response, the FBI conducted an official investigation in 1979. Now, the report concluded that the mutilations were due to natural predators, that they offered little hard evidence and made no mention of the surgical precision reported by witnesses. And many of the witnesses, when they heard this report that the FBI came out with, They laughed at it, right? They scoffed at it. They're like, clearly, it's not predators. Coyotes don't remove stuff with precision, right?
They don't have thumbs. It's hard for them to really operate with real tight tolerances.
I mean, the ranchers know what predator kills look like, and they know that these were not them. Even law enforcement didn't buy the official story. And in 1975, a Colorado sheriff told the press, he says, we're not dealing with predators. We're dealing with something intelligent and methodical. And then, as I mentioned before, there's the mysterious appearance of black unmarked helicopters. These are often reported in the days surrounding mutilation events. Some ranchers even began to suspect that covert government or military program was at work, and they were the ones that were responsible for the cattle. Now, I said the mainstream explanation is that it's coyotes, scavenger birds, insects, but we all know that's ridiculous. They said that it doesn't account for the surgical precision. It doesn't account for the lack of blood, the lack of tracks, the timing of the mass mutilation events. Now, there was a theory in the 1970s and 1980s during the Satanic Panic. You remember this.
Oh, yeah.
It's what crushed your D&D early days is... your parents and other people around thought that you were practicing some kind of dark magic if you were playing Dungeons and Dragons. We're not realizing that, no, dude, he's Conan the Barbarian. Cam's playing a giant barbarian, and he's just hacking the heads off.
I'm trying
off
to hit
stuff,
something with something
trying
heavy.
Trying to kill kobolds, right?
You know what I'm trying to do.
So during this Satanic Panic, many people suspected that these were ritualistic cults that were behind these cattle mutilations. They were taking these animals and making them an animal sacrifice, right, as part of a black magic ritual they were performing. However, no group was ever caught in the act, and the consistency and the scale of the mutilation seemed far beyond what any local cult could carry out unnoticed. Again, if it was a cult, why would they sneak onto a rancher's property? How would they subdue the cow, first of all? And sometimes
you've never been approached to join the the cult of subduing cattle?
Yeah. I mean, some of the times it's not just cows. It's, I mean, bulls. You're talking about large bulls. You're not just going to wrestle an 1,100-pound bull to the ground.
I would pay to see that.
They're doing this
in the dark.
They're doing this in the dark.
And trying to be quiet.
In the middle of a large pasture. I'm talking about some of these cows are found in the middle of like 8 sections of land. Like, you'd have to drive miles into the property.
Yeah. And just, there's no sign of anybody driving around.
No, there's no tracks. There's no cut fences. There's no footprints. So it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, everybody out there listening that actually, you know, if you work, no matter what it is, whether you're driving right away, you work in the fields or anything, you're hunting, any of that stuff that you do, you know, it's not a really good idea to be driving around in property that you're not really familiar with in the middle of the night out like that, especially something that big. You're talking about the last thing you want to do, you're going to run over a stump that you may not see in the tall stuff, right? The broom weeds get up. You may run over a T-post that's been leaned over. You have no idea what's out there. So that's just one thing that goes to mind. They're like, you're not just going to be randomly driving, wheeling willy-nilly, like, oh, there's the one we're going to get. Go get that big one. Let's cut his lips off. Like,
yeah.
People just don't do this.
And then doing it at night.
Exactly.
You don't think the rancher's going to see headlights moving around?
If you want to get shot or shot at, that's the best way to do it.
Well, you're right. And not just by... The owner.
Not by everybody involved.
The Texas Rangers and stuff, like Cattlemen's Association, like it's a serious crime to be going around jacking with people's
cattle. The Cattlemen's Association is something you don't, the Southwest Cattle Raisers is somebody you don't want to mess with.
No.
They're kind of like messing around with like the railroad and stuff like that. That's not a group of people you want to mess around with.
They'll shoot you graveyard dead like that sheriff in Florida was talking about.
Yeah, they don't
you know
play.
They don't play with
they
that.
They don't play. You get in more trouble here for stealing cattle than you can get in doing a lot of other stuff.
You know, and there's the extraterrestrial angle. A lot of people that are on this program talk about, like, the missing organs that are always harvested are rich in hormones, enzymes, and genetic material. And perhaps these are being removed because they're using it for biological research or even for cloning. And there have actually been some abductees that have claimed to see witnesses claim to see animals being lifted up into these ships.
Yoikes.
Right? So we met Linda Moulton Howell many years ago at the Arkansas, what was it, UFO conference?
Yeah, that's been up there at Eureka Springs. That was a hot minute back.
And she was one of the first one of these reporters that started reporting extensively on these documented cattle mutilation cases. And she believes it's not from this earth. Her book that came out like in 1989 was called Alien Harvest, I believe. And she did lots of interviews with law enforcement officers, ranchers, and insiders that claim to have government or government knowledge of secret programs or alien involvement. And she believes that it was, she's leaning towards aliens more than she is government black projects, but she doesn't totally rule it out.
She leans towards aliens on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. In her book, she points out that numerous ranchers over the years have claimed to see balls of light, disc-shaped craft, or even hear low humming sounds, always near these mutilation sites. One rancher even reported watching a cow being lifted into the sky by an invisible force, only to be found mutilated the next morning. Now, in other cases, compasses and electronic malfunctions happen near these mutilation sites. In one well-documented case, Linda points out that the area around a cow showed microwave-level heating in the soil with no obvious source. And there's another weird one. A cow was found in a tree cam one time, 30 feet off of the ground. So how did that happen? Cultists put it up there?
Jumping cow.
Cattle mutilations, they still happen today. There's recently been, even in the 2020s, there have been sightings in Oregon. There's been a case that happened in Utah, our home state of Texas, and there was even one in Argentina. So that's right. It's not just an American phenomenon. In fact,
I figured it would be pretty heavy in South America.
Again,
I bet it's heavy again, down there.
Where do you think all the good cow?
All
where,
the
where
beef,
else, where
man.
All the good bull riders come from?
All the beef. You got talking about Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of good bull riders from Brazil. A lot of big beef in that whole area down through there. So yeah, and I also wonder too how many of those go unreported.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Because
right.
They're a lot more vast and maybe a lot more rural than the areas that we're talking about. So a lot of that goes on. So it may be still popping off and we just don't know about it.
And you're 100% right. And what's crazy is the similarities with those cattle mutilations as the one here. They're exactly the same. The same missing organs, the same laser-like precision on the cuts, the no blood, the no tracks, no drag marks, no predation. I mean, even as recent as just like 2 years ago, there was one that happened in the interior of Brazil. And they said that in one case, an entire herd of cattle was missing.
Jeez. Well, I know I've read stories of where the guys are like, I found this cow, but not in the pasture I left it in. Right. Which isn't too crazy. I mean, everybody out there that's worked cattle's had fence jumpers, you know, stuff.
Sure.
Like, but when you find them cut up like that and there's no sign, you're like, well, did it pick it up in one pasture, carry it all the way across the place and drop it off in another one?
In 2002, Argentina saw a rash of mutilations that terrified farmers and dominated local media. They said that over 400 cows were discovered in a matter of months, drained of blood, organs missing, and incisions that baffled veterinarians.
Wow.
And not just in North and South America. It happens in New England. Not New England. In England and the UK. But not just cows. Over there, the same things are happening to sheep.
Yeah. And takes a lot more sheep. Than it does to do, was it 5 sheep per cow? But like we've discussed, I've never heard anybody finding them, like never finding whitetail that way or elk that way, right? It's almost like that kind of, it's too hard to catch a wild animal whenever you can just go find what you want to find right there. And it also may end up being what lends me to think more along the lines of aliens is all the things that you can use cattle for. Right, where they start talking about, you're talking about when they say they're all of their private parts, all of the stuff where they're studying the womb, they're studying all this. Like, there's a lot of that stuff where you're like, we're learning now, like, oh, we could use that to supplement certain things for the human species, or we've learned a lot through it from this and this. Because I'm always like, why aren't they just grabbing horses, grabbing pets, grabbing anything they want? But they always seem to specifically search out certain things. My question starts always going into this, and I know I shouldn't. I shouldn't even bring it up. Could it be other countries?
Well, it's a possibility.
Right? Just messing around doing stuff. But I doubt it. It still feels alien. It still feels foreign because it's done in such secrecy.
And there's even been cases found in Australia as well. And Canada, Saskatchewan, Alberta. Again, wherever they're raising cows, that's where this is going
down. The cattle stations in Australia, good luck finding all the ones that might be taken out there. I mean, that's the largest ranch in the world.
Well, and
they're in Australia.
Linda points out that these removals are done with heat-based instruments, like using microwave or laser technology.
Microwave lasers.
That's not even available to citizens. So you're telling me cultists are out there with... like handheld lasers?
They got them on Amazon. You don't have one? We get this off, I'll show you mine. And my laser.
Linda points out in her book, Strange Harvest, that tissue samples appear to have been cauterized during removal, which is impossible with animal predation. Hemoglobin in these animals is chemically altered as if exposed to high heat or radiation. Now, how many times during all these crazy alien craft people, when they get close to them, like Travis Walton or the Cash Landrum incident, where they have like radiation burns
on them
from whatever this is emitting. It's crazy. A Colorado rancher in 1993 had an eyewitness account. He says, I saw it float up, the cow. I was about 300 yards away. It didn't make a sound. It just lifted into the sky like there was no gravity. In 1980s, a New Mexico sheriff's deputy, he said, we were the first on the scene. There wasn't a single drop of blood, not one. But the animal's insides, well, they were gone, like they'd been vacuumed out. A veterinarian in Alberta, Canada, said the cuts didn't make any sense. The skin was removed with a level of cleanliness I've only seen in surgical operating rooms, and yet there were no footprints, no tire marks. In Argentina, an eyewitness says, we saw the lights above the hill. The next morning, three cows were dead, mutilated. The ground was scorched. So all types of witnesses. We talk about this all the time in the show. We give credibility to who the witness is. So you're talking about veterinarians. You're talking about ranchers. You're talking about law enforcement people that are having these sightings. They know their animals, right? Like ranchers, any rancher you know, they have a lot that have to go into when it comes to ranching these cattle.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it.
They have an intimate relationship with their cattle.
Mm-hmm.
They know everything. They check on them constantly. They know if they're sick. They know if they need to be wormed. They know everything about them. So when you see a dead cow, cows die from time to time, right? Predators get them from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
Sickness gets them from time to time. Thunderstorms, heck, tornadoes, right? They'll kill cows. They're seeing this stuff, and they're like, I don't know what this is. Which leads me to today's story, or interview, I'm sorry. Me and Cam had the privilege of going hunting recently with a fellow that we've been hunting with our whole lives. And his name's David, and he has a pretty amazing story to share. This happened not too far from where we live. David lived in a home that was about 20 miles from where Skeleton Studios is, where this all went down. And just like we were talking about, as I was talking about ranchers and their obsession with their cattle, this rancher, he didn't want to talk about
it. No.
He didn't want to come forward. It was only his grandson and the rancher's wife that propelled the rancher to tell David his story.
And I don't even know if the rancher... Yeah, you'll just have to listen. You'll have to listen to the whole thing. There was a lot of wild stuff. Like, this old man didn't want to talk about it. And we can't talk about mutilations without talking about Christopher O'Brien.
That's right, yeah.
He passed away last year.
That's right.
Yeah. Last year, right around Thanksgiving, he died. So less than a year, he's been gone. We had him on. He did a lot of studies. And we've talked about this in the past. If you're interested in it, you need to get his books.
Well, and you can go back and listen to our interview with Chris O'Brien.
What was that? Something on the herd. Stalking the Herd.
Stalking the Herd.
You want to listen? He talked to a ton of ranchers firsthand, went and actually did research, actually had been to sites right after people, they would call him and be like, hey, something happened last night. If you want to come over and check this out. Because he lived in that San Luis or the San Juan area, I think, up through there. Because I think he ended up there towards the end. I think he lived in Arizona near Sedona. But there for a while, he lived in that stretch in that area where it was happening.
Yeah,
so I think he could be close enough to do some more research on it, too.
Every time I'm driving through that area.
Every time.
I think about it, right? Whether it's at night or day, I think about it.
Well, I always think about it of us being up there without even having any idea back in the day when we were kids on that antelope hunt. We're out in the middle of nowhere. We're on 90,000 acres. We were the only guys hunting on it, period. I don't know how many head of cattle were on it. If you're out in the middle of that part of Colorado, that would be easy. It would just be like landing on a pool table. There ain't nothing out there.
I thought I was getting beamed up. It turned out it was 2 million mosquitoes lifting me.
That's true.
I've never seen more mosquitoes in my entire life.
That's true. They follow you like a cloud.
Let's get into the interview. I apologize for the audio. We're not in studio. We're at a remote location where we like to hunt. We call the area Area 52. Let's give it a listen. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. We got a guest here. We're recording from a remote location again, and we wanted to talk about a topic that we talk about from time to time. I remember several years ago, me and Cam went to the Eureka Mountain UFO Conference in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And while there, we got to meet Miss Linda Howell. And she's the first person that started really documenting the cases of cattle mutes. And then we got to speak with Christopher O'Brien, who also wrote several books on cattle mutilations. And it's always been an interesting subject to me because I have a lot of questions. If aliens wanted to abduct or take cattle, why would they bring them back? Like, what's the point of bringing them back? Just taking them and keep them. And if it's the U.S. government experimenting with like mad cow disease or any of these pathogens that they're studying on cattle, why wouldn't they just raise their own cattle? What would be the purpose of stealing ranchers' cattle to perform these experiments and then return them? Right, Cam? I mean,
you got to keep the overhead low.
It's always a weird thing. And like, I mean, obviously we talk about lots of weird things, but it's always one that leaves me with my head scratching because I'm just like, I don't understand the point of it. Like, why are they, you know, you hear about laser precision. They remove the genitals. They remove the eyes.
The lips.
Sometimes the blood is totally drained.
They're making hot dogs in space.
And when they return the bodies, like none of the predators around want to, I'm sorry about the mic. None of the predators want to eat or consume the bodies. There's just a lot of weird things that go along with cattle mutilations. Now, our guest today had a strange experience, and it wasn't with him directly, but a neighbor of his where he lived. He lived in a rural area, and a friend of his contacted him and said, "Hey, man, there's something going on down at my grandparents' place. Do you think you could check in on them?" And he was like, yeah, I'll do that. And so this is what happened. I mean, if you tell your story, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and, we lived, it was rural, part of a big ranch that broke up in Texas. And then the friend of mine, his granddad, he actually managed that area, that ranch, when it was all one still solid ranch. And I guess I don't know if he, I don't know how he ended up, but he had basically a section of land that he ranched himself after that large ranch broke up that he managed. And he was very elderly. He lived a few miles from me, and his grandson knew that he lived just a few miles from me. And he was actually my next neighbor if I was heading east from where I lived. But anyway, he called me and he said, "Man," he said, "there's something going on at my grandparents' place, and I'm going to ask you twofold." He said, "First, I'm going to ask you to keep an eye out on granddad's place, if you would." He said, "Maybe drive by there if you see anything unusual happening, you know." And I kind of asked him what's going on, and he said he couldn't get any clear answers from his granddad, but he asked me, and he worked out of state, and that's why he was calling me and asking me to, he actually at the time was living in Tennessee, and he asked me to go down there and check on him and see what was going on. And I did. And the elderly gentleman just immediately, even though I've never met him before, and I explained who I was and that I was good friends and went to school with his grandson. And he immediately kind of shut me out. He didn't, you know, I said, "Your grandson's telling me that y'all have had some problems, you know." He asked me if I'd help you out and keep an eye on things. And he kind of shut me out. And the grandmother immediately was like, you need to talk to him. You need to talk to him and tell him what's going on. You got to tell somebody about what's happened out here. And then I was like really taken aback, you know, hearing her. And she had real concern in her voice, real, real concern. And the elderly gentleman was like, "I don't need to tell anybody nothing about what's happening here." And she pushed it and they began telling me. And what happened was their section of land was divided by a road. And on one side of that, across from where they lived, on that 320 acres, there was a recent storm. And right after that storm, he went over to check on his cattle. And what he found was several cows that were deceased but they were mutilated. And it was the typical mutilation that you hear about, the eyes, lips cut out, genitals, and no blood, no sign of predation. And he was really, really stressed about it. And I suggested to him that they needed to call the Southwestern Cattle Association ranger and get him out there. And the old man did not want no part of it. He didn't want no part of it. But what ended up also happening that the woman was so terrified about, and she interrupted him, and you need to tell him about the dog. And I can't remember, she actually used the dog's name, but I can't remember it now. And that was his cow dog. And, you know, this dog, you know, for a rancher, that an old rancher that has an old cow dog, that they're like best of buds. I mean,
They
jump in the truck and go with them every time they head away from the house. Well, one night they woke up and the dog was done the same way, but it was right in the front yard. And that was like really disturbing. And the thing that I found that that just was really shocking about all of this, and because right the same time frame and before his grandson called me, I had noticed black helicopters flew right over my place, right down into a long draw that went down to where his ranch is. And I'm talking black helicopters with no markings on it. And, you know, this occurred back in the 90s. It was probably 96 and maybe 95 when this happened. And I heard about cattle mutilations, and I heard about black helicopters with no markings. But this is the first time that I saw black helicopters, you know, with no markings on it. And from where I lived, on the elevation that I lived, and knowing where his ranch is, they flew all over where his ranch was. And I found that just really strange and lended credibility to the entire.
Well, didn't you say he thought at first that they were struck by lightning?
No, I mean, there was a storm.
The storm, like, when he saw him down.
But that's why he was going over there to check on his cattle. But in her mind and in his mind, he knew that it wasn't.
Something was off.
You know, this was really crazy. Oh, and I asked him, too. I said, it rained. Was there tracks? Was there any sign of anybody going in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were adamant that no, there wasn't. I mean, the only tracks going in were
his.
And you know how an old rancher is with his cows. I mean, this is a bad storm that went over. It's the next morning. He's up and going over there to check on his cattle. And it was only his tracks, no footprints around it, you know. I mean, he told me that there wasn't any footprints, any sign of anybody.
And he was aggressive and visibly shaken about the entire thing.
He did not want, he wanted it to go away, and he didn't want nobody coming on his ranch. I mean, that's how he was. I mean, you know, when I suggested for the Southwestern Cattle Association ranger to come out there and investigate it, you know, he was just old man. It didn't, no way. I mean, it ain't going to do no good. They ain't never going to figure out a damn thing.
Nobody's going to be able to figure this out.
You know, because old ranchers like that, you know, if he can't figure out what happened to his cattle, ain't nobody else going to damn figure it.
Nobody's going to tell him what happened to it unless he figures it out himself.
He could tell that. Its eyes were cut out and its lips were off.
I can see what you're saying.
And somebody cut off its balls. And that's it. You know what I mean?
I wonder if he was so upset because this is something that's happened to him before.
I don't know, but if it did, he didn't share that. But, I'm going to say no just from the shock and panicky.
Of the wife.
You know? If it happened before, I mean, she was really concerned. She wanted somebody to investigate this.
Well, see, and that's always kind of stuck out hearing it, because she saw the change in him, right? Like, she saw that wasn't himself,
yeah,
and like how much it had affected him. And that's when she's like, somebody needs to know, because she just watched the rock in her life. Something just shook it.
Yeah.
And now she's panicking.
Yes.
And you would do it with your spouse instantly. Like, you know your spouse that well for that many years. It didn't matter what it was. You're like, something's not right.
Yeah.
Something happened and something's not right.
Yeah.
Did they report any strange lights or anything?
No, they didn't. Not them. They didn't. But in that local paper, there was an article from that same time period of people reporting UFOs.
Wow.
You know, so that, yeah, I mean, when you put those things together like that, even though when you notice, like, the rest of the people in that town never heard their story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I bet you that anybody that reported seeing a UFO, if they heard that story, they'd say, I bet you that the damn UFO had something to do with such and such as cattle getting mutilated.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so often I think that things are that way when you're talking about things of this nature, like UFOs and cryptids and things like that. You know, sometimes, without any kind of investigations into these things, you don't get to put the whole puzzles away together to see a picture, you know. But but there's probably many times when it comes to stuff like cattle mutilations, if it was reported, and, you know, people don't. This old man just didn't want, I mean, I guess he might have been scared of the publicity or whatever, or people coming around or whatever. I really don't know, because he didn't share it. I mean,
yeah.
He just shared the details and the bluntness of, he didn't want nobody looking into nothing.
And it always makes you think, how many of these cases have gone just like this?
Yeah. How many?
More than's been reported.
Yeah. More than what's reported. Yeah.
How much longer did you live there? Before you moved,
and another few years,
and nothing else ever happened. There wasn't any other,
like, yeah, no more. His cattle got took, or
not that I was made aware of. Yeah. You know,
you figured if it happened again, the grandson would have been like, guess what?
Yeah,
it happened again. So it may have just been that one time thing.
I think that if it ever did happen again, I don't think that the old man would have shared it. You know, I mean,
would have said another word about it.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I ever knew was because a grandson happened to call me and ask me to go check on him.
And that's because grandma called him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure.
That's it.
And did you relay the information to his grandson? What did he have to say about it?
You know, I did relay the information, and it basically was confirmation of what his grandmother told him that happened. You know what? You know,
and he couldn't wrap his head around that either.
No, and he couldn't. He wasn't in a disposed position where he could leave his job in Tennessee and come here. You know, and he still told me then, you know, please keep an eye on that place. You know, and I did. I kept an eye on it, but I didn't go down there and talk to the grandparents again to see if anything else ever happened or anything like
and
that.
And the old man never took you out to see it.
No.
No, nope. Just heard about it.
So nope. Wild.
It's a crazy phenomenon that I struggle with to this day. I don't understand what's going on or why it's happening. I have so many more questions.
Yeah. You know, and it's the kind of thing where you hear these stories, and sometimes there's skeptics, you know, oh, I wonder if it really happened or if this is bunk or bull. But when you get to go meet somebody face to face that something like that happened with, and you could see the fear and hear the anxiety in her voice on it. You know, I mean, I don't know what happened to his cattle, but it ain't natural, whatever it was.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not likely that an old couple rancher one day is just going to try to pull a prank on his grandson and then get the neighbor involved. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. The grandma's not going to do that.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that story. Thank you so much.
You bet. You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
And we're back.
There you go.
Crazy story, right? And it's so much alike all the other stories you hear about. The exact same things.
You know the thing I hate the most about it is it's close.
It's close to it.
I like it when they happen a few states away. I don't like it when they happen in the same county I live in.
Yeah, right.
I don't care for that.
And UFOs are reported in a new local newspaper in and around that area. Strange lights were seen. They got the guy's dog, too.
You know what else? I always think about this and forget about it every time I think about this story. I wonder if there were ever, or if there still are, mutilations cases out of Stephenville. With all the lights, remember all the stuff they've had down there? I wonder, there had to be some down around that area that maybe have just never been reported.
Well, that's the thing, is how this old man didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to report it. He didn't even want to call the Cattlemen's Association. He didn't want to get anything involved.
Nobody to know.
But how many old farts are like that are out there?
For not just this, for everything weird that's happened.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few.
I bet you for every cattle mutilation that is reported, there's probably 300 that aren't. And what's crazy is it comes in waves almost. Like you'll get 6 or 7 and then you won't hear about it for 8 years and then you'll get a couple more. It's like it really does come in waves. It's such a strange phenomenon. It's fascinating. I have no answers. I have more questions. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand. If the government wanted to test something, why wouldn't they do it on their own herd? If it was aliens, why the heck do they bring them back? Are there weight restrictions on a UFO? And if they're going to go fly to planet Blip Blop, like we can't have 5 a head of cattle on here. Well,
it may be the fact it's not weight restrictions. It may be size restrictions.
That too.
Right? But maybe that's it. It's a lot easier to carry around genitals and pre-cut anuses and lips.
Tongue, liver.
In jars than it is to carry.
Listen.
That's the reason they make hot dogs. Right? Hot dogs are smaller than steaks.
They're making alien hot dogs.
They're making alien hot dogs.
Look, I like liver. I like tongue. But they're missing the best part. They're not taking the brisket.
Or the heart.
Yeah.
Like, bro, you're not even going to take those pieces?
They're making alien hot dogs.
Look, that's what I don't mind liver. Like you said, I like tongue just fine. But there is a brisket there.
Yeah. Bro,
there is a brisket.
They don't like ribeyes?
There's steak man.
You don't like T-bones?
My gosh.
You don't like New York strips?
You ever had burn-ins?
Yeah.
Like, you would rather take the
beef
anus?
Ribs. I like beef ribs.
Yes. I'm getting hungry, dude.
Man, I am too.
Starting talking about barbecue.
Tell us this Glimmer Man story.
Okay. And
get out of here.
We're going to do this. Yeah, I'm telling the Glimmer Man story, then we'll let you people go. Ted sends this in and it says, hey, y'all. This is what's pretty crazy. So he starts talking about the idea of a Glimmer Man, but he has a little kick here that I like. He started having a realization talking about the phenomenons around full moons and new moon nights.
Okay.
Now, I never really thought about digging into it, but so this is it. So it says, since it's a full moon phase, I decided, like so often, to do a bike tour. Besides that, the weather has been better lately. So this, of course, taking place a hot minute back. Said it had been colder, so he was just thought about going out. So he replaced a few parts on his old mountain bike. Had some time again for a little spooky woods exploring. So he's cycling up a hill. He said, I'm about 45 minutes before sundown. Took a few breaks as usual until I came halfway up the hill, taking another look around at a tree. Said it was fairly quiet where I was at. No wind was blowing. Almost, not quite, but almost the Oz effect. Laughing, he says. I just saw some air distortion up there between the branches. So, like those above a flame or above a fire. Like, like in the movie Predator when it's in invisibility mode. So, said I saw it for maybe 2 seconds. This thing was 3 to 4 foot tall at best, and it seemingly went behind one of the bigger bare branches when it noticed me looking at it. So I guess I could say I saw a Glimmer Man, but more so a Glimmer Child. So besides this thing hiding, said there were a few more weird things that I noticed, but nothing more than that. Clear sky, beautiful weather, everything was great. Riding around, just the fact that there was a shimmering 4 foot tall being in the trees watching me as I did this. Now, this all took place 3 days after a new moon or a full moon.
Huh.
So we'd always joked about, you know, great hunting 3 days before and 3 days after a full moon. Right. So maybe we're not the only ones that joke about it.
The predator.
Maybe the predator. There is a predator child, which, again, makes sense. This is one of those things that I like, this story, because it caught them off guard. They weren't paying any attention. This is what they saw. That's as far as they saw it. That was it. No interactions. It wasn't like, oh, I followed this thing for 10 minutes or I interacted with it for a few minutes. It was like something was happening. I stopped. I got this weird feeling. It was almost like the Oz effect. Look up and there's this thing in the trees, blurry outline, tiny predator staring at me. Nothing like getting killed by a predator's kid, right?
Well,
like,
and it may not have been a kid. I mean, people come. Look, you got jockeys, and then you got Shaquille O'Neal.
This is true.
Maybe it was just a short glimmer man.
Maybe it was just a short glimmer man. It would be easier to hide a jockey-sized glimmer man than a Shaquille O'Neal-sized glimmer man.
I agree.
Right? Especially in a tree.
Like I talk about and we joke about all the time, I like it when like somebody has a Sasquatch story and they say it was 5 foot tall more than if they tell me it's 12. I don't know why. Yeah. But it's like, why do they always got to be so darn big?
So huge. So huge.
I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just saying, for whatever reason, I like it better when they're shorter.
I agree. I agree. I just enjoyed this one because I've not heard that many of tiny glimmers, like small glimmer people or glimmer beings. So
yeah,
I enjoy that. So hopefully we find some more because we got a little glimmer action coming up.
Yeah, we're working on something right now with Lawn, and that's going to be coming out hopefully by the end of the summer.
Yeah,
that's the game plan.
Yeah, that's the game plan.
We probably got about 50% of it already done.
Oh, yeah, if not more so. Yeah, so we'll get that rolled out.
That's going to be exciting. And I bet you, mark my words, when that comes out, we're going to get flooded with a lot more
stories. There'll be a lot more stories, yeah.
Because people just, they don't know until they know.
And then there'll be a part two, and there'll just be Glimmer Man. The Glimmer Man takes over.
That's
will be what it is.
If you have any stories you'd like to share with Cam and me, as well as the listeners, you can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. Let's not forget about our wonderful sponsor, Green Chef.
Word.
Make this summer your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Head on over to greenchef.com/50expanded and use the code 50expanded to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for two more months with free shipping. That's use code 50EXPANDED. Cam, I know your granddaughter just had a birthday.
Oh, yeah.
My granddaughter just had a birthday. Anything else party-wise coming up for you the next week or so?
No. No, absolutely not. We have been busy doing all of that stuff. Of course, you know the granddaughters, they're a little rotten, and that's okay. That's how they're supposed to be. So, yeah. No, I don't have anything, nothing major going on right now. I'm kind of at a little bit of a lull because what we've been doing, I've got to have a meeting with the roofers and all that stuff again to see. He's got to come over and take a look. I think mine's okay, but we're going to find out for sure.
One of my oldest sons just moved to Northern California.
And he's fishing.
And so he's been telling me about the amazing fishing. So I think that in the next 2 months, me and my wife will probably go up there for a couple days.
Go catch a fish.
I'm going to do some trout fishing with Caleb. So
there you go.
That's about all the time we have for this week, folks. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.